With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to the Punters, Mate on SEN.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Punters, Mate. It is Friday, the 15th of March, 2024, and I am very pleased to say that Sammy Hyland has rejoined me in the studio for this week's show, after almost flying solo last week, with a help, a big, big help from Gibbo, of course. But there's nothing like having the same people, or nothing like having both hosts in the studio, Sammy. So welcome back. I'm very glad to see you back.
You love having both starters in the box, don't you?
I think it makes all the difference.
Races, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think you can – it's a lot more enjoyable, hopefully for the listeners as well. But, to be able to see each other and bounce things off each other and have a bit of fun, I think is what it's all about.
So, good to
have you back. And how was your week away?
It was good. Yeah. Gari Island, is that what it's called?
No, it's called Fraser Island.
Yeah, well, look, I met Ranger Toby – on the second last day.
Oh, Stacey.
He was giving me a big rundown of the so 250 to 300 dingoes on the island. There's only a couple with the ankle bracelets on around their neck because they've been a bit cranky at different times. So they don't really come near you. They come to one side of the island. This is interesting, right? So when you go to Eli Creek, which we did a couple of times, and shout out to Ben Wright, who led the charge. He's fantastic, and he's obviously an outstanding cook, and he's set up on the back of his Ranger is fantastic, fridge, everything. And so we had breakfast one morning at Eli Creek. It was so good. And so the dingoes turn up, and they're scavengers. They're opportunists, right, as Toby was telling us.
Vultures.
Right? So that they just look around for the scraps. But we went to the other side of the island, the west side. So we'd four-wheel drive right through the middle and across to the other side. It was amazing the difference between one side of the island, the beach, to the other. And it was like glass on the other side. Beautiful white sand. Amazing, right? And anyway, Ben had the drone up. And just, kids are rolling, playing in the water, whatever. I'm having a beer. Next thing, dingo runs out, chases this wallaby, right? Oh. Bang, grabs it, jags it, straight to the heart, then drags it up the bush. Mm. So then Toby's saying, that side of the island, they'll hunt for animals and whatever, whereas the side that we were on, where we were staying at Yidney Rocks, they're opportunists. They're scavengers. So a bit of background on the dingoes.
Bit of history there. That's good.
Bit of background on the dingoes at Fraser.
Do they give you the stare sometimes? Yeah, you think, I don't want to look at you. I don't want to make eye contact.
Well, so we were staying in these units on the beach at Yidney Rocks, and they walk up on the grass, like had a big grassed area, which was... I was calling it the Fraser Island Stadium because Will and Hudson were playing soccer out there every afternoon. And, they come up the top and they sort of have a bit of a look. But you have PVC pipes, like sticks, to chase them away.
Oh, really? Give you?
Yeah. They're there out the front. So if they get too close, you just pick the stick
up. I'd be worried. You give them a bit of a flick with the pipe and they think it's on.
I tell you what, they're a bit mangy and skinny looking. They don't look like, on the side, Yidney Rock side, they don't look like they've been getting too many feeds, I can promise you. But very interesting, great place, really relaxing. And
so what'd you rate the place out of 10?
I'm going to say 7.
Okay.
Yeah, going to say 7.
Yep.
It was, Lake Mackenzie, fantastic, beautiful. It was like unbelievable how warm the water was, how clear it is. White sand, Yeah, a lot of backpackers that get there, and it was there's some different sites, I can tell you.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a good time. I went to the Gold Coast last weekend.
I went to the footy
at People First Bank Stadium, which used to be Carrara, which used to be Metricon, which used to be Harvest something or Heritage Bank. Sorry, Heritage Bank Stadium. First time there. Nice ground.
Yeah,
nice ground. No, okay. No luck with the team, but it was an enjoyable weekend down on the Gold Coast. And you're up and about, of course, after the Blues won last night.
We are the Navy Blues. We are the Navy Blues, and you know it's they. You know, Jack out in the office there giving me a bit of stick about last and then I just had to bring up last week's performance.
Because he's a Brisbane supporter.
I mean, really, that was outstanding. And then last night they've fronted up and just gone bang again. So go Blues. Love that.
We were looking at their draw this morning. I think they got a bye next week. And then they got North Melbourne, who you'd think they'd beat. And they got a couple of other winnable games. So they've started well. And I think they've won their last six games by under a goal.
Really?
Makes a difference, doesn't it?
Well,
like holding those short putts.
It's there, you know, when your confidence is up,
yep.
Things go your way, don't they? You
100%.
Know, and it's a bit like with horses. I mean, you're tipping a horse this weekend that is going for four in a row.
And you're trying to knock me off.
Yeah, and I'm tipping against it, of course, race six. And you're with Sharp Dazzler, number two, and I'm with Transatlantic. Yeah, it's. I mean, that horse, Sharp Dazzler, is building a picket fence.
He's flying.
And a shout out to Lee Sears, Matty Sears' mother, Tony's wife. It was her birthday yesterday.
So happy birthday,
Lee! To Lee.
Hopefully, she can celebrate big time at the at Eagle Farm tomorrow with another win for Sharp Dazzler.
Yeah.
Now we will be on track tomorrow at Eagle Farm, Sammy.
Yes.
Together.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're going as part of the charity day for Mark Tubby Taylor's charity. Paddy Welsh will be MC there, so we're at the perch. So if anyone wants to come along and get a photo of Sammy, a selfie or an autograph, I promise I'll organise it. Come and find me and I'll make sure it gets done for you.
Yeah, highly unlikely, I would have thought. It should be a good day. It should be a good day and we are, hopefully we're going to have a winning day.
Yeah, we'll be trying. Pressure's on.
I've done the form last night and was sort of had a bit of value about. So
did you?
This weekend. So we'll see what comes of that. Hopefully we can have a bit of luck, but it'll be a good day, great charity. And of course, Pat and Heels, their show is going great guns up here in Queensland.
And race four is the Pat and Heels Breakfast Show Handicap.
Heck, good.
That's not the complete name of it, but the race is named. We'll never get a race named after us.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Punters Mate.
I wouldn't rule it out. Punters Mate's pretty popular.
Punters Mate Improvers. They have improvers anymore?
No, they do.
All right, here we go. The week that was, of course, the Gold Coast last Saturday was Jewel Day. I had the Saturday off, but you were on deck and you picked one of the winners of the main races, Mashani Aloha.
Loved Mashani Aloha. That was fantastic. And just a good, tough effort. And, you know, I say it time and time again with Les Ross's horses, they just dig in when they're under pressure. And it was a great effort. And good to see Mike Crooks getting... Having a bit of luck in a big one because he puts a lot in.
He does.
Of course, Barrier Reef Pools is his business and he owns all the Mashani horses. And, he's got a fantastic property out there at Bow Desert. It was great to see him pick off a cutish drill race. And, it goes, you know, helps a lot in paying the feed bill, Chris, because there's a lot of horses.
A lot of Mashanis.
That's right. It's an expensive hobby, that's for sure. So you need to keep those winners coming in, and I got a real buzz out of watching that. I had a really good day last Saturday, and I don't know if you caught up with the vision of our little mate Tags, but I was tipping Lekvati in late in the day at in Sydney,
yep.
And Tags was dissed me. You know, as he does, and it got him in a nice old pickle, Chris-o, because he said if Lekvati wins, I'll swim a lap of the pool, and then that turned into 10 k's on a stationary bike, which, you know, I'd go with the lap of the pool all day, every day. Yeah,
better watch, isn't it? Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting.
So what's he going to do? Is he going to do it? Are you going to hold him to it?
Cam Luke was...
Oh, he'd be loving it.
Yeah, Cam Luke was like, well, this is it, you know? Like, and Lech Vardy, one of the greatest rides of Tommy Berry, coming from back in the field, picking his way through the
field.
I
saw that.
It was hilarious.
Strong light.
And to watch Tags's face, anyone can go to our socials on SEN and SEN Track. And, Tags's face was, he couldn't believe it. And I said to him, you know, like, surely you're better than that. Come on, you know? Like, this is very funny.
All right, so Party for Two won the three-year-old jewel. Great result there for Steve O'Day, Matty Hoystead, and Nikita Berryman riding the winner there on the comeback trail. So that was really good. Gold Jewel was won by Legal Esprit. Military Rose was won by Chinny Boom, who was the best of good things. Just set up beautifully for Chinny Boom, who will now go to the Archer at Rockhampton, Sammy. So we'll run well there. And the Gold Coast Stakes was won by Red Top. Some other highlights from last week. Alicia Donald, did you catch up with this news?
How good's this?
Alicia Donald, and I'll read this, drove from Toowoomba, where she lives, to Ipswich, where she won the second race at 11:49 a.m. Then she made her way to the non-tab meeting at Esk. She rode in races three and four, kicking off at 2:30, winning aboard Gypsy Power, before jumping in the car, returning to Toowoomba for the last five races of the night, and winning on That's an Extra. So three winners on the day at three different venues. Well done to Alicia Donald. Have we got some round of applause there? That's certainly what Alicia Donald deserves after that effort last week.
It's an outstanding effort. And Brad Stewart, I did see Brad Stewart has done it.
Yeah,
has ridden,
in 2014.
Yeah, he went... He went Doomben, Gold Coast, and Toowoomba, three winners in a day. But, I think Alicia's, that's enormous effort. Fantastic.
It is. Fab's Cowboy won race number 52 last week at Mount Isa. Now, it breaks the modern-day record. That had belonged to Walk Cool, who'd won 51 races across central Queensland between 1988 and 1995. Fab's Cowboy turns 13, Sammy. On August the 1st, what have you lost down there?
One of the lenses.
Oh, the lens has fallen out of you.
Matt's found it.
He's got it.
This is how bad I'm going. I broke the
glass. Did you buy those at the servo?
No, Andy Lewis from the Emerald Hotel. I think you gave them to me.
Pair of glasses here that you've lost the lens in because the frame's falling to pieces.
Yeah, and then so then I went and got my eyes tested during the week.
Yeah,
and. So that's going to sting me like $450 for a new pair of glasses.
This is where you're backing plenty of winners.
And then, are these petrol station glasses? They
work. I think they would be. Are they magnifying glasses? That's all they are, is magnifying glasses. Okay. They have different magnifications.
They work,
but that's why they're
I broke them in my pocket.
You have.
And so the lens keeps falling out.
Need a bit
out.
Of sticky tape there.
Yeah, I do, don't I?
So Fab's Cowboy won start number 52 at his 150th go, and he turns 13 on the 1st of August. Which means he has to retire.
What a great horse.
Yeah,
what a great, was I think Dean Bernays, I think he originally started training in Fab's Cowboy. And then he made his way up here.
He'll be old enough to vote in the council elections tomorrow.
It's a fantastic effort. Fantastic.
Now, I know you're all over your sectional form, Sammy. That's your go, isn't it? I thought so. But for those of us who are, and there's a lot of punters out there that are, Racing Queensland has unveiled a number of enhancements to the sectional offerings. That's sectional offerings, headlined by a raft of innovative new data points, including a horse's stride frequency and length across each furlong. So plenty of info there for the numbers.
I just find people. It's too much information. Right?
It can be.
I find, you know,
it's good to have some.
I do it. You know, what suits the person.
Exactly.
You know, there's many ways to skin a cat, isn't there?
It's like some people love ratings.
Yeah.
Some people don't.
I just trust what I'm watching on my eye. I think when people start honing in on sectionals, there's lots of different reasons why horses 100%. Run certain sectionals, and the way the race is being run, the conditions, the track itself. You know, so
it's all part of the it all goes into the melting pot. But I think I'm with you, Sammy. The number one form guide is is your eye on what you've seen. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. But that is good information to have. I mean, I look at the sectionals regularly, but I still think the eye is the most important factor engaged there. Now, more outstanding racing in Sydney and Melbourne tomorrow. Of course, we've got a good reading here at Eagle Farm, but we are racing in Sydney at Rose Hill and Melbourne at Caulfield. Some more Group 1 action in Sydney with the Coolmore, plus another couple of lead-ups to the Golden Slipper, which is next week.
Okay. Wow.
And the All-Star
Golden
Mile.
Slipper next week.
All-Star Mile, of course, tomorrow. Now, we might look at some of these races later in the show. If time permits, we'll try and give a couple of tips and maybe go through a couple of those races. Are you in the Storm Boy, Switzerland, or other camp at this stage?
Storm Boy for me.
For Ryan Moore.
Well, what I don't understand is when I'm reading that, people are surprised that Ryan Moore got to ride Storm Boy. He's the best jockey in the world, right? The best.
Yeah.
And
well, he rode the winner last year.
And he would get to choose whatever he want to ride. Like, and that horse more than likely will go to Ascot, right? And Ryan Moore will be riding it. You know, so I don't know why anyone would think Ryan Moore wouldn't be riding Storm Boy. You know, I thought it was just a given.
I think the barriers will be all important when they come out next week. Because if Storm Boy...
Did you say it's gallop?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty good. It's flying, isn't it?
I'll tell you what. I was like, wow.
But I mean, Storm Boy draws 16 and Switzerland draws 4 or something. It'll be interesting. I mean, it's not all over. I just want to see those barrier draws before I make my final call. Today's guest we'll get to in a moment because we need to have a quick chat about something first. We'll be quick with this one, Sammy, because Gibbo and I did touch on it last week, but I knew you'd want to have your say about the Greens' plans to forcibly seize Eagle Farm should they win the election tomorrow, which is not going to happen anyway.
Gee whiz. Do we have to vote?
Yeah. Tomorrow. You want to do it today or tomorrow or else you'll get a fine.
Oh, my gosh.
Voting for the Greens? Jonathan?
I won't be voting for the Greens and... get on your bike.
Exactly.
Find another. Go and sit in the park somewhere else. Burnie Park. There's Burnie Park in Hendrick. Go down there. It's a good park. Go and have a play on the swings. We don't. That. Anyway, it's surely that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. It can't happen. And the other thing is, he was of the understanding that he'd be able to pick it up for about 40 mil. All that land there. I mean, any developer, if they could pick up that land for 40 mil, they'd be laughing. Absolutely laughing.
Aren't they whackers?
Their money, what do they call it? Their monetary policies, and they're working out of how much things cost. I think they've got a lot of work to do there. Well, Rose Hill, I know Eagle Farm's not Rose Hill, but it's closer to town, and they're looking at $5 billion. So $5 billion versus $40 million, bit of a difference. I think Eagle Farm's worth a little bit more than $40 million. But anyway,
would have thought so.
What would I know? Our guest on the show today will be Maddie Hoisted, who, of course, has got some very good runners at Eagle Farm tomorrow. Of course, co-trainer of Party 4-2, who won last week, won one of the dual races, as we mentioned. And we'll ask Maddie what's going on with Uncommon James, who resumes in the Galaxy, I think, at Rose Hill next Saturday. So looking forward to that. Racing action, of course, continues right across the Sunshine State. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where racing in Queensland is happening today. And I can tell you it happened today at Townsville and will be happening tonight on the Poly Track at the Sunshine Coast. There are 7 races there. We race at Eagle Farm tomorrow. We race at Ipswich tomorrow. We race at Rockhampton tomorrow. Toowoomba in the Twilight Zone. There's some non-tab meetings at Bundaberg, Longreach and Mariba. And Sunday, we are going to Gatton for our meeting. So another busy weekend of racing coming up. As I mentioned earlier, our special guest today is Maddie Hoisted, who joins us this afternoon. He's got he's had a big week. There's been plenty of winners for the stable, and he's got another big day ahead tomorrow. Maddie, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, guys.
Had a good week?
Yeah, has been. You know, it's been good. Couple of nice horses there. So, always good to get the result. And, good when you get a bit of momentum going.
Has been in hot form. And I tell you what, I know it was only Beau Desert yesterday, but real rush. That bolted in, didn't it? It was won by nearly seven lengths. And, gee, it was, I watched that race and I was like, wow, it's got a bit of zip about it.
Yeah, she's pretty smart. We thought she'd go there on debut and just be winning, to be fair. But fortunately, she just sort of bungled the start. They went to let him go and the whole field lunged at the gates and the gates didn't open, so they had to do a manual start. And just because of that, she did step slow and obviously was three deep the trip punch in the breeze and still had the audacity to give a kick and was only just beaten for second late. So we thought she would have been pretty hard to beat on Wednesday as well, but rail out from a little bit of a tricky gate, we elected to go the softer option. And, it's how you like to see them win when they're that short, so it was good.
Smart option, because I think the first seven races on Wednesday were won by the leaders or something sitting outside the lead.
Yeah, that's it. And there was a fair bit of pressure early in that race. So, it would have been a little bit tricky, but, she's a filly that's still learning her craft, but she's, definitely well above average ability. Yeah.
How do you go there, Matt, with obviously a big operation, big stable, and do you have someone that does the form for you, or are you all over that when you're going into a race meeting like on Wednesday with a horse like this and you want to sort of map where the horse is going to be running? And obviously, as you've explained, you thought it's going to be too hard to run, but who influences that, or do you do it yourself?
Yeah, do that ourselves. We've got a racing manager, Jordan Mellions, up here as our manager, so does form with it as well. But yeah, we sort of keep that all in house. She's a very quick filly. We were able to see that yesterday and how brilliant she was out of the gates. It was more that she just stepped slow on debut, but that was the risk in case she would have stepped slow again. Thought it was going to have her in an awkward position, and just great having owners like Malcolm and Michelle Petrovsky, who own her, that were more than happy to know, look big picture with her. We know she's got the ability. She's going to be a Metro filly, and we're happy to take the softer option used as a confidence boosting sort of run. And she'll only sort of be benefited from the outing yesterday as well.
Now, before we get to runners tomorrow, we need to talk to you about Uncommon James. Is the plan still to resume in the Galaxy next Saturday?
Yep, it is. Yep. So he was actually there at Doomben on Wednesday. PRC were good enough to give us an exhibition gallop, so he was there and had his final, I suppose, more serious hit out. We just wanted to take him away to get a little bit more out of the piece of work, simulate sort of race day with him and get a bit of nervous energy out. And it couldn't have worked any better. We're really pleased with him. He's going, I think, as good as ever, which he's going to need to be. But, really looking forward to next Saturday with him now. It's very much the countdown's on.
And who will be riding him next Saturday?
Damien Lane will be sticking aboard.
Yeah, you lose nothing there with Damien Lane, that's for sure. Now, what sort of barrier are you looking for?
Well, I would love, I think anywhere sort of into mid would be ideal against these type of horses. He's still going to need to get a soft economical run, so would love to sort of be drawing somewhere where he can just get covered up early. He's probably just racing a touch aggressive last preparation through, trainer error, putting the blinkers on there at Caulfield and probably just revved him up a little bit. So would love to just draw a gate where we know he can get a smother early just to make sure he switches off and to be giving him every possibility to be as strong through the line late.
All righty. Now, at Eagle Farm tomorrow, you kick the day off in race number three. You got the very well fancied and very well placed, I thought, Naval Trader and the first upper Mayfair Spirit.
Yeah, he said dropped back in class for Naval Trader. He was obviously good in a better race. Thought with the weight, he may have been able to pick up a bit quicker than he did the other day. But going back and watching the race, they obviously really controlled it from the front. And, he was still really good through the line. Now he's sort of third up, peak fitness. He's bright as well. And with a bit of speed on here, he should get a nice trail. And, looks a race that he should be pretty hard to beat in. And he's one to probably follow, this Mayfair Spirit. So the boys come from down south, but he's been very happy with the way that he's prepped up. The gate makes it tricky. He's going to just, he'll just be going back and be riding and hit the line and be better over a bit further. But Yeah, he's a horse that seems to be in a good frame of mind at the moment, and you know, his trials and all his work at home have been very encouraging. Since he's one, once he gets out over a bit further, can definitely be one to follow.
Just on Naval Trader, did you think about claiming 59.5 here?
Yeah, I did, but he's just probably not the right horse for that. He's not the easiest of horses, and just thought the experience of a senior, and obviously Justin, who has done a lot of work on him at home, he obviously rode him first up there and knows him quite well, thought that would be the happy to carry a little bit more weight, having a bit more of an experienced rider on him, which he probably needs.
What about Spin Doctor, race 8?
Yeah, coming back off a disappointing run last prep. It was a bit of a head scratcher that last run. You know, he's prepped up really well. Very happy he was in the duel there last week. We scratched from the tricky gate to save him for this race. So glad we've drawn a gate, and he'll be better over a little bit further. But he's got a bit of class. He obviously ran third in the Tudor's Duel 2-year-old sort of 12 months ago, in getting to Eagle Farm, where he's had his only win to date, you know, he can definitely be running a race here, and he obviously carries a bit of weight as well. But you know, he should be still running sort of top three here, and you know, hopefully a bit of a flashing light on him going out a bit further in trip.
Now you've got Contemptuous going round in race 9. He's always been one of my favourites. He mixes his form a little bit these days, and he's got a very awkward gait. But gee, I found it such a tough race. I just came back to him and thought, look, if he can get some luck in the run from that gate and go forward, maybe he might be some sort of a chance. Can you give me some help there, Matty?
Yeah, don't think he could be going any better, this bloke.
Good.
He obviously has had a jump out after he obviously trialled there at Dubin really impressively, had that little hiccup where he had to be scratched at the races, and he's had a nice, solid 1,000-metre jump out of Deegan there last Tuesday. Simlay's just really in the zone, this horse. It's just a shame that the gate's obviously a little bit tricky, and he said we'll need a little bit of luck early, but if he can get across cheaply enough, he can definitely be a big player in this race. I think he's going very good. He's just at that age now, as you said, he mixes his form a bit, and it's probably more to do with he just needs everything to go right for him in his races. But if he can have that happen, he can definitely be right in this.
Yeah, I'm banking on him hopefully having a break over the likes of Ranch Hand and Northern Express, who will get back in the field. So hopefully he can get the job done. Matty, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Sammy and I will be on track at Eagle Farm tomorrow, and no doubt we will run into you somewhere. Hopefully it's after a win or three, seeing you've got representation in three races.
Let's hope so.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks very much for joining us. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Will do. See you, guys.
Matty Hoister joining us there, as he regularly does. Sammy does a terrific job, and all the best to his runners at Eagle Farm tomorrow. We'll go for a break. When we come back from the break, it will be sausage time.
This is the Punter's Mate on SEN.
All right, Sammy, it's time for that segment we love each week. And it might be a bit of a serious one this week. I know I'm going to go to town on one.
Oh, wow.
And I've got a question for you too, but let's just listen to the music as we go. Now I feel as though I'm in the zone. You can go. Our first question is, how's African Daisy going?
It's had a stable change.
Has it?
It's had a stable change.
Where is it now, up in
Annabelle
Rockhampton?
Neesham to Jason Deemer at Newcastle. And it will step out first up for the new stable. Campbell Brown Dog, he loves them when they get a new box and they go to the races for the new stable.
Yeah.
He reckons it puts 6 lengths on them.
Yeah.
And the Daisy will come out and just blow you to pieces, I'm telling you. So
you're sticking with her?
Yeah, I'm sticking. One more go for African Daisy. My sausage is the whole All-Star Mile concept. All I've done is read about it and hear about it, and it's just, you know what? Doesn't work, Chris. Doesn't work.
Well, I think they'll probably make some changes next year.
But, I mean, there's been changes made this year. It's even worse.
Make more changes.
And then, you know, I mean, they've gone from having voting, which was a crock of... There was not that many votes. It wasn't thousands and thousands of people voting for horses, I'll promise you, right? And then, you know, it is just a circus to see a race like that. And here we have the Australian Cup and Newmarket Handicap, Autumn Carnival, and they hardly get a kick. They hardly get a look in because everyone's talking about this race that's got moderate horses. And, you know, so that's my sausage. Okay. Maybe High Bar. I'm probably being a bit tough on him.
Oh, I can't tip him again.
I'm being a bit tough on him because that track at the Gold Coast was... Wow. But, yeah, he disappointed me last week. He did. I thought he was better than that.
Well, I'm going to throw a hell of a deal in. I am so sick of this mare. I cannot tell you how many times she gets into the right race. Oh, this looks good for her. She put the writing on the wall last start, or she was held up and she should have finished closer. She draws beautifully. Jimmy Orman jumps on. And look, maybe the Gold Coast last week didn't help her, but I'm sick of saying that. She gets in these races and doesn't produce. So, look, if she does win, and she may well win going forward, it will be without me. So there you go. Sure you don't want to put African Daisy in?
No.
Plundering's still running down the track too, I see. It's
Of course it is.
Anyway, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
On the Gold Coast, in the sunshine, a holiday paradise.
On my trip to the Gold Coast last week, Sammy, as you know, or you didn't know, there are council elections coming up tomorrow. And that's all across Queensland. And they have the signs up
vote
everywhere.
One Gibbo.
Well, there's no Gibbo sign. I'm
really?
Looking everywhere for it. I'm seeing Tom Tate and that other guy down there who I can't remember his name. And they're the two main candidates, but there was no vote one Gibbo.
Were you in the right haunts? Were you hanging well, in
obviously
the right
not.
Haunts?
Gibbo, what's going on? I thought you were the unofficial mayor of the Gold Coast.
It's funny you say it, but there was a bloke running, I don't think it was for mayor, but for council or something there, maybe 4 years ago, and the amount of people that took photos of his signs that are hammered into the ground, sending in to me, thinking it was me, as a stitch up. Yeah, so I forgot his name, but yeah, there's one bloke who apparently is my doppelganger.
George Clooney.
Probably a lot smarter, but...
I don't know. He's a politician, so maybe not.
Yeah, you said you're down my way. Did you see the statue?
No, what statue?
No.
Your statue?
They put one in. Yeah, they put one down the beach just in the sluggos, just sort of looking out into the ocean.
No, I didn't see that. If I had have known, I would have made a special trip and got a photo next to it. But
just the pigeon shit on it. That's all.
It was a good time. I went to some nice spots down there, so very enjoyable. Now, latest episode of the Two Flogs podcast up and running?
Yes. Yes, yeah, it's out and about, so you can get that everywhere. Apple and Spotify are the main ones. Yeah, Curbs and Moosey's been on fire lately, our producer, our switch pitch, as we call him. He's I hopped in and sparred him the other day, actually. Yeah, he beat the poop out of me.
I meant to write this down. I saw something the other day, whether it was a league thing or something, or some sportsman, and he had a Two Flogs cap on.
Oh, was there?
Yes. I don't know where it was.
On TV,
I saw it
on newspaper. I can't remember.
It was on TV or online.
Oh,
I saw it and I thought, wow, that's good advertising. But I don't know. But it wasn't some dud. It was someone reasonably well known. So,
of course, it wasn't some dud. Of course, it was.
No, duds wouldn't wear those caps.
No, exactly right. Probably got out of $2 bin at Vinny's.
No. So I'll find out who that was.
We're gonna have to throw that out then. Yeah, find out.
I'll see if I can remember. It was on social or TV? Probably social.
Okay.
But I meant to write it down.
You remember it was league or AFL?
No, it wouldn't have been AFL. I think it was either league or
league.
Might have been some other sport. I mean,
okay.
Hurling? Curling?
Yeah, yeah, curling air croquet down at the
Beetle racing.
yeah, that's more like it. Be something under the table.
I will find out. Where are you going to send us for a winner tomorrow?
Let's just have a few in Brisbane, I think. Yep. Just not completely sure how Melbourne will play. I'm sure it'll probably be fair, but we'll start race 6, number 2, Sharp Dazzler. Now, we just keep sort of tipping this, and it just
Sammy's not.
Keeps winning. And No, he's not. All right. I just sort of, I know there's a couple there that have got some upside, but it just comes across to me as one of these horses that doesn't look like it's training off, keeps showing a turn of foot. Just when they've got a turn of foot, they do just sort of keep winning. And I think it's placed well enough to win again. But I don't want to be taking much less than the 260. But I sort of did thought it would come up shorter than that. So around 260 plus, I'm happy to take that. I don't want to be taking, if they do come for it race day, I'm not taking odds on.
Nope. Okay, so race 6, number 2. Yep.
And then we'll go for one that's going to sit up on speed earlier in the day. Race 2, number 13, Grand Meteor, around that sort of 850 each way mark. It just, look, doesn't look like a star at this stage, but just one of those progressive types in the Gollum stable. He's just taking his time with it. Like I said, can lead if nothing wants to take it on, or can just box seat here. But, I mean, it was really good last time, 1,100 up to 1,400, beaten by a good one. Yeah, I don't know. I just think 850s, to me, a really nice each-way play. You're going to be up on speed and hard to get past.
Okay. Any others anywhere else?
Oh, I'll give you one more. I'll give you the roughie, but I can give you about 10 negatives for it, but there's just something tells me I think it'll run well. Race 7, number 13, Dance the Night Away, around $18 sort of dollars.
What's the sort of race?
Yeah, just same. You know, most of these horses from down south that have shown sort of anything down there are usually well placed up here. It hasn't got that big turn of foot, but I reckon they might have been riding a bit close down south. They got back in a unsuitable trip last start, and if you go and look at it, it's just sort of held up and just didn't get that right run and was sort of picked up through the line. It's just one of those ones that, you know, really ordinary race. Yeah, I reckon it's a poor race. I was just looking for something, and yeah, at those odds, more than willing to have a bet, but it's going to need a lot of luck and a good ride from the gate, but it might be the one that can improve. I don't think there's much improvement in many of the others.
No, and it's. I'd like to have a chat to the person who decided it should be the first leg of the quaddie too. Thanks very much for that. just about a field job. Yeah, exactly.
It could be.
So the best bet of the day, race 6, number 2, Sharp Dazzler. The next best is race 2 at a bit of value, number 13, Grand Meteor. And even better value, race 7, number 13, Dance the Night Away, something that you and Sam are very good at.
Exactly.
I got 2 left feet, so I'm no good. But you guys?
Yeah, no, I'm no good.
I think you would be. You have to be to be mayor.
No.
Anyway, good luck in the elections tomorrow. I know that you're not even in it, but from somewhere, you could come from the clouds. Just a late entry and away you go.
I'd be a chance of being the president of the United States. We all would, wouldn't we? Jeez, there's not much to vote from
what
there.
What a circus.
I don't think there's much in the way of qualifications required, is there?
One's going to be in hospital, one's going to be in jail.
No, that's right. That's a good way of putting it.
It's a good time to be a vice president, I reckon.
You might be right. Yeah, I know. What has the world come to, Gibbo? We say that every day as we get older.
Oh, got me beat.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate your time as always, and have a great weekend. Hope you back plenty of winners.
Thanks, legends.
Thanks, Gibbo. Gibbo joining us there as he does each and every week. Sammy. Give me your best bets for
tonight. Okay. I've got one for you tonight at Cheltenham, right?
Ooh.
Race 1 at Cheltenham, number 9, Salvatore Mundi. Salvatore Mundi. Mundi. Done it twice. $9 you can get this. Willie Mullins. He's trained 100 Cheltenham Festival winners this week. And this will be winning the first tonight at Good Value.
What time is that on?
It's on at...
No, don't worry.
It'll be 11:30 tonight. 11:30. Okay. Now, race 3, number 5, Naval Trader wins at Eagle Farm.
Agree.
Race 6, number 4, Transatlantic wins Eagle Farm. Race 9, number 3, RNT.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Today, tomorrow, he's going to get the money. So,
well, you'll be on track down near the winning post cheering him home.
I'm going to go and get a photo with him.
You should.
I'm going to get a photo with him. So, yep, they're my best for Eagle Farm.
What if we could organise a
track? But that Cheltenham one, it'll be winning.
Okay. I'm going to mark that down. So race one, number 9, Salvatore Mundi.
That's it.
Okay. And you've gone with race 3, number 5, Naval Trader. Race 6, number 2, number 4, Transatlantic.
Yes.
And race 9, number 3, RNT. And I might try and have a chat to the BRC and see if they can organise a track gallop, maybe for African Daisy between races tomorrow. Seeing you're there, you might even be able to ride her.
Yeah. It's don't worry. New stable. It's ready to win.
All right, I am going similar to you, race 3, number 5, Naval Trader, race 6, number 2, Sharp Dazzler, and also race 8, number 2, Press Link. I think that might be a nice little multi there for people who like their multis. Interstate, one of Kieran Mars, race 2, number 2 at Rose Hill, Dasho Lenny, looked good winning at Sandown on the lakeside track, first start in the country. Race 5, number 3, Lindemann, if ever going to win a race, this is it, looks beautifully placed. And a couple at value in the Group 1, the Coolmore, Race 8, number 4, Vienna Princess, and Race 9, number 12, Robusto, both at around double-figure odds, if not better. So there might... And what about the race that won't stop your nation? That's the All-Star Mile, Sammy. I like Cascadian. I don't think he's a big chance of knocking
don't
over
be
Mr. Brightside.
Silly.
But on an each-way basis,
silly.
He's flying this prep. He really is.
When was his last win?
Australian Cup last year.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. So that's probably what he's heading for again. But, you know, he probably wants a little bit further. But, look, if there's anything goes wrong with Mr. Brightside, he might be the one that could run a race. And at the price, you could back him each way. He's going really well this prep. But, look, he's a very good horse, Mr. Brightside. Now, I've got some tips, of course, from our good friend at South Australian Horse Racing Tips. Jump onto Twitter/X and go to @South_tips. Morphettville Parks tomorrow. I can tell you Anthony has been flying with his tips of late. Absolutely flying. So get on these. Race 1, number 13, Pure Bliss to win. Race 2, number 1, Dual Fuel to win. Race 3, number 6, Billy Bronx each way. Race 6, number 4, Lonro Dex each way. And race 8, number 5, Storyteller the win. So 1, number 13, 2, number 1s, 3, number 6, 6, number 4, and 8, number 5. Now, are you tipping Mr. Brightside?
You'd think he'd win.
And you're not one to tip favourites.
No, I'm not.
I am. Well, you're not.
Well, it's a bit crazy, that race, isn't it? But you'd think he'd win, Mr. Brightside. Yeah, he should win. I mean, you know.
He should. There's no doubt about that. But look, things can go wrong. Before we go, Sammy, really quickly, what do you think of the new Heath track at Caulfield on Wednesday?
You know what I reckon? I don't want to go into it too much, but I reckon it'd be a good track to go and give one a run on, you know? If you're just going to roll around on one, get back, go wide, get beaten 5, and then go to the races and win next start. I reckon that. Don't forget, we are sacrificing Sandown. They want to sell Sandown for a trial track.
You're not telling me anything I don't know.
They want to sell Sandown.
No.
To race at a trial track. Why? I mean, you've got the best track going around Sandown. Gives everyone a chance. Beautiful track.
Tight tracks. Money,
injuries,
money,
money. Interference. That's what they give you.
No problems. Money, Sam. You can make money selling Sandown. Make money selling Rose Hill, and you can make money selling Eagle Farm, apparently, for $40 million. But let's not
really
go down
sad.
There again.
Really sad.
All right, well, I'll look forward to seeing you on track tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait. We'll find some winners.
I'm going to go home and polish my boots.
Make sure you put your... It's a suit and tie job.
Is it?
No, it's not. But we do have to dress up with pants and a shirt, so that'll be something new for both of us.
Can I wear thongs?
No, or shorts. You can wear shorts, a short-sleeve shirt tucked in, and a tie.
I could turn up with anything.
I know. But you remember, you've got to get through the members, so you need to dress appropriately. All right? Well, you wouldn't matter. You could just get in anyway.
I'm looking forward to it.
Do you know who I am?
Turn it up.
All right. Good luck to everyone. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week on The Punters, Mate.